can see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. Telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour of Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. This Friday, June 5th, 2026 edition, we're having some technical difficulties connecting Pastor Chatfield into the show. Hopefully we can get him connected here shortly. His topic for today's discussion, the historic differences between conservative thinking and libertarian thinking. So, looking forward to that conversation with him. Again, we're trying to connect him into the studio. Hopefully, he'll be able to connect with us shortly. One of the things that I've come to understand, being involved in politics, actively, fully engaged, starting in 2010, is the fact that we have different philosophies within the Republican Party. There's a certain group of people that believe in government should be out of our lives. Leave us alone. Very, very limited government involvement in our lives. The fact is, that libertarian thinking has been basically undone by President Donald Trump. Most recent perfect example has been Thomas Massie, the congressman from Kentucky. Outspoken critic of President Trump, just got defeated in a primary of Donald Trump supporting his opponent, who is a MAGA supporter. So joining us on the line is Pastor Chatfield. We started the conversation without you, sir. Historic differences between conservative thinking and libertarian thinking, and I gave a perfect example, Thomas Massie, the congressman who just lost to a Trump-endorsed candidate in the primary for Congress there in Kentucky. Good morning, sir.
Right. Yes, I was going to mention him. And Thomas Massie, we can go way back through history. There's always been a tension here between these two concepts. And they overlap from one party to another. And it's impossible to say today, well, Republicans are more libertarian than Democrats, because there are some Democrats who have some strands of libertarian thinking, and vice versa. So that is the way that it is. Okay, Thomas Massie, He likes to think of himself as a strict constitutional conservative, but he also calls himself a libertarian. Interesting, when I started looking him up, you know, he lives off the grid. He's got a big farm out there in Kentucky. He's not connected to the electricity grid. He's got 15 different, I heard him, read that he said this, I got 15 types of peach trees on my farm, and I'm disconnected. I mean, he's an advocate for the Second Amendment. He's got plenty of guns, and he's kind of a self-dependent type of person. Now, when I learned that, I said, well, that kind of goes along with your libertarian thinking. And we'll talk about this in history also when we come back.
Sounds good. Short break, a word from our sponsors. I'm Trucker Randy. He's Pastor Rusty Chatfield. We'll be right back.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
This is Perry Johnson, the Trump conservative for governor. I'm an outsider businessman, not a career politician. I spent my life bringing quality and efficiency to over 60,000 companies. In fact, they call me the quality guru. My first priority as governor will be my mega audit, the Michigan Efficiency Government Audit, that will find the fraud in state government and Jocelyn Benson's election office and eliminate it. By implementing my mega audit, we will save the taxpayers millions and return it to you with my 4747 income tax elimination plan and property tax reform. My Perry Johnson 4747 plan will put $4,747 in your pocket every year. And seniors deserve a better deal on property taxes. This message paid for by Perry Johnson for governor. And I approve this message so that we can finally bring quality and efficiency to state government.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hear ye, hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From noble new tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion, liberal or actual I guess, libertarianism versus conservatism, the thinking process of the two. And Pastor Chatfield, I want to get a point of clarification. Is this purely among the Republican Party, or are you also going to include the Democrat side?
I'm mostly Republican Party, because not too many libertarians left in a Democratic Party. There might be a few. There used to be libertarians that would say, they would say, "Yeah, why can't we smoke marijuana? I'm a Democrat. I like smoking marijuana. It's illegal." Okay. But yeah, I'm in my own house. Why can't I smoke marijuana? Now that marijuana is legal, and there's no going back on that for the foreseeable future, why should they, you know, there's no reason for them to switch parties. I mean, they're kind of liberal in their thinking, but there are some strands of libertarianism in when it comes to gay marriage or just. And I know some libertarians, Republicans, that say that the government should get out of marriage altogether. In other words, don't recognize any marriage. The state government should not sanction any sort of marriage between two people. If you want to live together, so be it. Male, female, you name it, however you want to do. The libertarian says, if I am not bothering anybody else, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And that is libertarian thinking. Now, that's overly simplified, of course. Whereas a conservative, and as you know, I'm a kind of a somewhat of a disciple of Russell Kirk. The first principle of conservatism is, from Russell Kirk, the conservative believes that there exists an enduring moral order. Generally speaking, the conservative believes in God, and that this God is a moral God, and there needs to be a moral order in the world, and that laws reflect morality. To me, that is so blatantly obvious. I argue with people all the time. And may I say this? I know a lot of libertarians think that they're super smart, super intelligent. You guys just support party and just support Trump, and you're not thinking. I'm a thinking guy. Well, I don't think you think as much as you. You may think a lot, but I don't agree with your thinking. That we believe that there exists an enduring moral order, and that laws made among men must reflect that. That's what William Blackstone believed. That's what Edmund Burke, the father of modern conservatism, believed. That's what our founders believed. Now, there was a tension at some point how far you go with that. But we believe there is a moral order. I've heard people say, and by the way, I just tell you this, two good guys. And maybe they'll, I don't know, they're good guys. I like them both. Dave Ajima, Tom McMillan. I think they both served together in the State House of Representatives years ago. But Dave is much more of a conservative. And Tom is more of a libertarian leaning. And Dave is more conservative leaning, hence, and they have some. They're going to have disagreements, even among people that were Republicans and generally like minded. I've read. I think I met Tom McMillan once, and I've talked to Dave maybe a couple times, not much, but I read what they say. I've seen Tom right out there on Facebook. It was concerning the Ukraine and Russia, not our war. Concerning what's going in Iran, not our war. He's much more of a isolationist thinking, libertarian thinking. That's not our war. And if I argue, if I would say, Mr. Representative McMillan, because I'm talking because he's a good guy and we agree in a lot of ways and about a lot of things. We do, but. Let me ask you this. If you were in, say, the 1990s, there was a civil war going on in Africa between the Tutsi tribe and the Hutus tribe. And it's estimated within 100 days, there was, 500,000 to 1,000,000 Tutsis were massacred in Africa. Is that not our war? Of course it's not our war, but if the United States had power to stop it, do we have a moral responsibility to stop it? Should we ever intervene? Let's say Iran was preparing to nuke Saudi Arabia, but we had assurances that they would not use their nuclear weapons on us. And we were confident they were going to use those nuclear weapons against our interests. And they nuked Saudi Arabia. Is that, quote, not our war? Is it? You see, the libertarian thinks, first of all, and they're very individualistic. And when it comes to America, they're closer to isolationist, whereas I would call President Trump and conservative Republicans more non-interventionist, if necessary. In other words, but not never. Not never. Sometimes you have to act. Sometimes you have to have a preemptive war, I think. And in this case, what's going on in Iran is a preemptive war, based on what we know and what they've confessed. You know, we are not going to stop enriching, what is it, uranium. We're not going to stop doing that. They've said it. We're not going to stop. So do we just say, well, that's not our problem until they do something? It's not our problem. But do you understand the thinking? By the way, this thinking goes way, way back. And it's when we declared our independence in 1776, the Declaration of Independence, which was kind of the John Locke philosophy of government, which everybody agreed on, that the government is a social contract between individuals that we unite to protect our life, our liberty, and our property. And we could see Great Britain was infringing on that, and we united to stand up against tyranny against us. I got it. Okay, that's true. But after the war was over and the Constitution was adopted, we started to, and it's perfectly natural, you had the what we called the Federalist Party, led by George Washington, really was a Federalist, Alexander Hamilton, John Adams, who wanted a stronger government. They wanted a stronger national government, whereas the Democratic Republicans, led by Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, they wanted less. They wanted more state government. And by the way, so we go back to Virginia, Madison and Jefferson, they would want less state government too. They would want less government at all levels. And whereas they were afraid of power, they were afraid of any government having power. For instance, when Jefferson didn't want a standing army, Adams wanted a standing army and wanted to build up our Navy. And Jefferson would argue, why would we do that? Why would we have to spend all this money on defense? We can all defend ourselves, or the state militias can do the defending. And so there was a philosophical difference there between two signers, two of the main movers of our independence, because one was more conservative in nature, Adams. One was more libertarian in nature, Jefferson. Adams was, let me just explain this about the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. What the First Amendment did was prevent the national government, Congress, from establishing a state church. On that, we all agreed. We did not want a national state church. However, in Massachusetts, where Adams was from, they had the Congregational Church was the state church. They weren't. The First Amendment didn't prevent any state from having their own tax-funded church. Now, Virginia did away with that before the Constitution was adopted during the mid-1780s because of a lot of Baptist influence. The Baptists, whether in Rhode Island or in Virginia, wanted no government interference on church. And that was, let every man do what they want to do. And by the way, that's where I am on that, of course. But that wasn't the case initially. And that's a lot of the arguments that people will say, well, our country wasn't founded on Christian principles. They forget that when the country was first founded, it was 13 colonies, and a lot of them had state churches. Almost every single one of them had something in their constitution, whether in the oath of office, that you must recognize the Christian religion. Almost every single one did. And I've taught on your program through that. But all that said, Jefferson wanted no connection. And he was much more of a libertarian thinking. And that strand of thinking would run through and to this day. Whereas Adams was less like that. Less. I mean, he said, you know what? We got to have an army. You know, we got to protect ourselves. Europe's a threat. And Jefferson would say, I don't think they're as much a threat as you think they are. And there was always a tension there. And that tension was continual. Fast forward to the Civil War era, or right up before the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln and the Republicans thought that slavery was wrong and should not be extended. The South thought that slavery was right and ought to be extended. In Lincoln's first inaugural address, he said that's the only substantial difference. See, the conservative thinking, which I call Lincoln more of a conservative, said that there exists a moral order, and this moral order is God doesn't like slavery. Now, Lincoln made it crystal clear, because of the Constitution, he would not touch slavery where it already existed. But he made a powerful logical and historical argument that Congress did have the right to prevent the slavery to extend into the territories. That was a big argument, and he said so in the Cooper Union Address. And so when the seven Deep South states saw the election of Lincoln, they seceded. They wanted their own way. They weren't going to bend to the Union because they could see that the North was growing much quicker than the South, and that eventually the Republicans, the people that opposed slavery, would eventually outlaw slavery. I think they would have. So they decided we're going to have to secede, and if necessary, we're going to go to war over it. And so the South was much more libertarian thinking at that time. And so that strain of thinking goes on and on and on throughout history. Should government intervene here or should it not? Libertarians are much more independent thinking, much less likely to go along with, say, the party. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not a party man. I'm a rugged individual. I don't vote the party. I vote for the man. Well, excuse me here. Our system, our constitutional system, is set up in such a way that whoever wins the most votes gets a vote in Congress, and it goes way back even to the first administration of George Washington. Political parties began to be formed. It's the nature of things, and if you want your way of thinking to succeed, then you've got to get behind the party. That's the way it works. It is ironic to me when somebody forms, well, we're going to form an independent party. It's a contradiction of terms. Independent party? You're going to have a bunch of people who are very independent, libertarian thinking, join a party. And as soon as you do something they disagree with, they're going to pull out anyway. It doesn't work. It's not the nature of our system.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll have more discussion, text messages coming in. We'll get to those. Bottom of the hour news break, hour number two. We'll be right back.